broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Grand at Wild Horse Pass for Conscious Capitalism 2019. It's time for CEO Exclusive. Now, here's your host, Sweeney Cohn.
Welcome to CEO Exclusive. In this segment, I am absolutely delighted to have Max Hansen, CEO and co-founder of Y Scouts. Max, tell us a little bit about what Y Scouts does and why you think it's valuable for you to take your very valuable CEO time to be here at the Conscious Capitalism Conference this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. Y Scouts is the first ever purpose-based leadership search firm. So we help companies hire leaders. We work with a lot of purpose and values-driven companies, which is directly aligned with the Conscious Capitalism kind of approach and philosophy. And for me, this is my seventh Conscious Capitalism event that I've been to. So I've been to four summits, and this is my third, four CEO summits. This is my third event. And so for me, it's I come here, I personally get a lot out of it. It's a great personal journey. It gives me a lot of inspiration to go back and just be a better leader. In addition, you know, just naturally, you learn from a lot of great leaders here. But for me, it's more of a personal journey here. It helps me really start to evaluate who I am as a person, why I'm doing the work that I'm doing, and really invigorates me to go back fresh into the office and help lead my company. So the time is, for me, really well worth coming, and really gives me a lot of inspiration.
Mm. So I want to go back to what you say that your company does. I would love to maybe hear your higher purpose. But what does a purpose-driven search firm, how does being a purpose-driven search firm look different from being a regular search firm?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because I
try, you know.
It's yeah,
kind of what I'm supposed to do.
I owned traditional search firms before, and I sold them in 2015. Y Scouts was started in 2012, and when we really started to evaluate things differently, is we really saw the interview and hiring process really not being that effective. And so what we saw is what was being left out was people really being asked about what they cared for. So really an evaluation of what they really care about, what their personal purpose is, what their professional purpose is, what they most value, and who they are as people. So I think, what differentiates us is when we start an interview process with anybody, we are asking about them. We are asking open questions about what they care about first before we get into what they're able to do for us or our clients.
Hmm. And so it sounds like your interview process is different. How is your interaction with the companies that are doing the hiring different?
Again, a great question. You must have done this before. So when we start an engagement with a client, we take them through a discovery process as well, similarly to what we'll take a leader through once we understand the client. But what we're trying to understand with the client is we really get a handle on what their purpose, their values, their leadership philosophy, and their culture really is like on a day-to-day basis. And why that's important is if you're to be effective at hiring leaders, you have to find the right leader that's aligned to that culture and to those soft skills first. And then we move into obviously making sure that they can do the job and can lead well. But when we start every client with every client, we gather data from key stakeholders through two different methods. The first method is it's called a company DNA, and that really helps us, and that's sent out to a wider swath of individuals, people that have been at the company with different tenures, different departments, and just scattered throughout the company. It really helps us understand purpose, values, leadership traits, and philosophy within that company. And then the other thing we do is we help companies really define what success looks like in the role. Most of the time what we find is companies on the leadership level, they don't know exactly what they're looking for. They've copy and pasted, you know, what a job description from another company or another role. And they really haven't evaluated where they want this leader to come in and take them to and from. So our job is really helping them define what success looks like in the role, understand what the culture looks like, and then make sure that we align the right leader.
Mm. So this is fascinating for me for a couple of reasons, because I can interview you both as a, you know, member of the conscious capitalism community, but then also as a CEO yourself. So one of the things that I have spoken to CEOs about, because I think it's what's going to drive adoption, is where in the P&L they see the economic benefit of conscious capitalism, right? We talk a lot about the conscious part, but I think it's also really important to talk about the capitalism part. So they've told me that the number one thing that is an economic driver is turnover that's associated with conscious capitalism and conscious principles. They're like, there's some others, but they say, if you can really demonstrate and prove that this decreases my turnover, even by a small percentage, the cost benefit is so big. And then also the other ancillary benefits, the effect on culture and, you know, all that turmoil that when people leave, that alone is, if we can demonstrate that economic benefit alone, it merits all the work that goes into adopting conscious principles. So I would love for you to weigh in as a search, because you must know this data, because if the person leaves, you don't get your money, right? Is that still the case? Is that still a part of your business model?
We actually offer a one-year unconditional replacement guarantee.
Right.
So yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what are you seeing as the differential, you know, in your business between the conscious, you know, the companies that adopt these principles, focus on purpose, hire for cultural fit, blah, 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 blah. What are you seeing? Because you must have a wide, you know, pretty deep data set, because, you know, you're working with all these people. What's the difference?
You know, I think, you know, it's a great topic. So I think when you have stable leaders and you're really diligent on the front end and you really dig deep to look at who we really are, and in that interview process, you're very vulnerable on both sides. Because I think that there's hiring is, there's this slippery slope of vetting and selling somebody into a role, and especially on the leadership level.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen headhunters, you know, forgive me, that's the pejorative term for what you do, but get smarmy about it. They're can be very smarmy.
Sure. Yeah, I think to your point, I think where turnover is reduced the most is patience on the front end to really get to know yourself as a company. And then when you're going out to evaluate the right leader for the role, is really to take your time and make sure that the leader knows, you know, everything going in. And most leaders that are conscious leaders, they really want to know anyway. But it's really it's really about understanding yourself, really understanding what you're trying to accomplish, understanding, you know, the achievements that you've had over the, you know, the past, you know, since you started the company or in recent years, and they're really understanding the challenges that you've been through, and really being forthright with leaders that are coming in. Because what we see when there is turnover is companies are selling leaders into a situation, and leaders 6 months down the road or maybe further are looking back saying, that's not what I understood coming in. So having a really good process where there's alignment on both sides, where both sides are able to evaluate where they're at and how they can help each other, I think is key. And to your point, can really help from the turnover standpoint, especially at the leadership level. I think turnover at the leadership level is, you know, really, really disruptive.
Mm. Do you have enough of a sense of what the actual difference quantitatively is? Like, how much does turnover decrease when companies hire and focus on or adopt conscious business principles versus when they don't?
Yeah, I mean, from a, I don't have an exact statistic, I would say.
Yeah.
But I think I think it helps in a lot of ways. I mean, beyond just the turnover statistic, I think conscious companies that hire and evaluate people properly and really hire the right people, I think they benefit in a lot of ways. Even when leaders do leave, they leave in a way that's not disruptive to the company, which ultimately helps the company. Mm. So I think there's so many different benefits, you know, even beyond just the hiring process and the selection process. So it not only reduces turnover being, you know, a conscious company and following the tenets of conscious capitalism, but it also helps really feel, people feel like they're being treated humanely, and leaders really coming and going in a way that's not disruptive and still helping the company achieve their mission.
Mm. So if you, now switching from the conscious person to now the your own CEO and, you know, you running your company, where do you see this in your P&L? Like, where are you seeing the capitalism part of conscious capitalism showing up for you?
You know, I think it's just the way we treat people. You know, people come into our business, and our business is somewhat, I think, easy to be very conscious in, because I think there's a lot of unconscious businesses in the search world. You know, we're, you know, less about transactions and more about, you know, long-term gain for both us internally and our internal employees and our, you know, internal employees. So the gains are, you know, people give more discretionary effort and, and they really are disciplined in working with our clients and helping our clients really make the right hiring decisions and not being transactional. So like I said, in you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of search firms out there where, you know, they, everybody's paid so transactionally and they treat everything so transactionally that, you know, it's unfortunate that people make decisions in that way. And I think it the people that ultimately suffer are the internal employees and their clients. So for us, we don't approach it that way. We don't pay on a transactional basis. We look more long-term and look at what we're trying to achieve long-term with our clients. So that's kind of the difference for us.
Max, that's really big. Okay, so I think I heard you say you're a search firm and you don't pay your employees by when they get a search done. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's big. So I was going to ask another question, and I'll come back to the other question I was going to ask, but how did you make that decision? And if you don't mind, if it's a part of your secret sauce, then fine. But then you must pay the people. So like, how do you have the incentive to have them find the right person line up with how they get paid?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. And it's something we're still trying to figure out. It's something we're evolving. But, you know, my background, it was more staffing. So I've had, I've been very lucky to have great people on my team. We've hired about 50,000 people before Y Scouts. And, you know, we just decided in the beginning when Brian Moore and I started this that we wanted to do it different. We didn't want to be transactional. So, you know, we thought, hey, let's make sure we just hire the right people and trust them and pay them higher bases so they're not, you know, so they're not living and dying.
Yeah, give me the next person. Give me the next person.
So we just decided early on that that's what we wanted to do. We thought it's the way we were as people. We wanted to trust people. We wanted to pay them what they were worth. We do have we pay on a quarterly bonus type of program. But we're still trying to find that balance, quite honestly, because I've been on the other side of the road, and it's when you pay on a commission basis in the search world, it makes it
it turns people into headhunters. That is what they are doing.
And it does make some things easier, but it doesn't make it sustainable, in my opinion. So we just decided we want to make this sustainable, and we're still trying to figure it out. You know, we just recently went to, it's almost like a profit sharing on a quarterly basis. So everybody, you know, kind of can see very in a transparent way what the expenses of the companies are. And I kind of feel like we're, you know, that's the right track compared to traditional search firms. But it's definitely something that we're figuring out. But we do know that when somebody is not fighting, you know, for a commission to pay their bills.
Yeah.
They have the discipline to see a great person or resume in some light, but just understand that it might not be the right fit for a particular role and lead, you know, in a particular client. So that's what I'm most proud of is our team when they're able to stay disciplined, and even when somebody looks great and they could slam them in there, they're able to say, "I know this isn't going to be a long-term fit," and kind of lay off and wait until we find the right person that is.
Yeah, and what this calls to mind, Max, which is so powerful, is what happens, because now in today's society, we are still motivated by money. How important it is to align how you pay people with the values that you have. And invariably, if there's a misalignment, you know, you can see this in what happened at Wells Fargo. If there's a misalignment, most people are going to go for the economic benefit. And so as leaders, what I hear you doing, which I think is so admirable, is that you're doing the difficult work of making sure that the how you handle money is aligning with the values that you have, which I think is in itself a discipline. And so that was the next question, the question I was about to ask, which is, how do you make that quantum leap to start looking at incentives and looking at money and, you know, kind of disaggregating or focusing on other values other than money? Like, how do you begin to do that as a CEO? Because that's, I think, a large part of what's going to drive adoption of conscious capitalism. For the people that are listening to this who are not here, not participating, there is this shift that needs to happen that says, I am not going to put, you know, you said short term, but I'm going to put other things on the same level as economic benefit. That is a big, big shift for most people.
Sure. You know, I have to say, for us at Y Scouts, just because of the way Brian and I started Y Scouts, our journey has been a little bit different. We actually found, you know, I look at this, and I don't mean to break it down to this simple of an equation, but, you know, if you look at purpose and profit, and you look at purpose on the far left and profit on the far right, I would say we found ourselves in the first, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of existence too far on the purpose side. And I know that that may sound weird because that's one of the tenets of conscious capitalism, but, you know, we had to at some point come to some real conversations in our company that's great. We have so much purpose, but sometimes you can be over purpose driven. And I know that may sound a little funny and not be focused on profit. And I think
you're not a not-for-profit.
Yeah, sure.
You're not, so, I mean, if you were a not-for-profit, it wouldn't matter, but you're a for-profit business.
Sure. And we get the privilege of working with a lot of really mission and purpose driven companies. And there's a CEO that's actually, Alex Stavros of Embark Health. And they do some amazing stuff. They do behavioral health stuff and obviously changing a lot of lives for teens. And he told me something one time. He said, no margin, no mission, no profit, no purpose. And I think people maybe have heard that before, but we had to live that out and realize that, hey, we might be leaning a little bit too far on the purpose sides. And it took us a while to kind of balance that out up until, you know, a couple of years ago, I'd say. So our journey was different. So it was a little bit, you know, different because we started so extreme and just knew who we were and what we weren't going to give up as far as, you know, our purpose and values. And then we had to kind of start balancing that out. And the other thing that happens, you know, back to the compensation conversation, is when you have a strong purpose and you have strong values, when you bring people in that may be driven by money, I'm always careful on making it so they can comfortably speak that, yes, money is a motivator. I mean, if money motivates you, it's not a bad thing. And when you have a strong culture and people, there might be other people on the team that's not their number one driver, I think you have to be careful that you don't squash the people that can come in that it is, because I think there has to be a balance of both, you know, where people are driven by different things. But the people that are driven by money, I don't think it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just, you know, they have a different priority order.
And also changes in people's lives, too. I mean, if you have, you know, you just had a kid, you have kids, they're going to college, they're this, this, and this, then, you know, money becomes a lot more important. Sure. In that season of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're this is a great conversation because it's something that I think about daily that I'm still trying to, and we're trying to figure out the best way to go about it. You know, the best part is we, you know, we like the choices that we've made to get here. And so we'll continue to evolve it, but, there's definitely a balancing act that goes between balancing, you know, purpose and values and making sure that the company's profiting and staying healthy.
Well, this is why I think it's so, why I'm investing in this conversation for CEO Exclusive is this conversation, I think, is the conversation that's going to have conscious capitalism go from a fringe movement into the mainstream, like this specific issue around money as a motivator and, you know, balancing money and purpose with other needs, and not seeing necessarily that purpose and profit on different or on a spectrum that, you know, you have to choose. It's not that. It's like being creative and finding them in this, a mosaic of some kind, I think is the conversation to have. And about the people that are motivated first by money, this is why the work that you're doing to make sure that the economic incentive aligns with the other incentives is so important, because that's what's going to actually have the people who are motivated by money come in alignment with the rest of your values. And I mean, I've seen it, and I was speaking with another interview yesterday. Whenever there's some sort of a brokerage model, whether or not it's investment banking, recruiting, used car salesman, whatever, right? Whenever there's a brokerage model, these incentives get completely, they go cattywampus. Mm-hmm. It's because if people have to choose between paying their mortgage and, you know, doing right by this thing that may blow up in 6 months because the person will finally leave, I mean, they're just, I'm going to get my mortgage paid in a week. Mm-hmm. That's just the human thing. So kind of introducing conscious business principles, specifically in the brokerage world, I think is a great conversation for us to have.
Yes, I agree. Ironically, the first recruiting company that I started in 2002 was called Job Brokers. And I kind of look back and I laugh because nobody really wants a job. When we think about it, we don't go out for leadership roles saying, anybody want a job? I mean, everybody looks at you like, I mean, they know, you know, they know what we're talking about. People are looking for a career or someplace, you know, a leadership role. And then the second word was broker, so it was job brokers. And, you know, I think those two words is just it's just super ironic, the journey that I've been on. You know, my first thing that I wanted to accomplish was being an entrepreneur. I named a company, Job Brokers. It actually was very, very successful.
Wait a second, it was your company?
Yes.
I thought it was a company that you went to work for.
No. I started it. I was 27 years old. It was the first recruiting company that I started, and it was one of the companies that I sold in 2015. But I just look back, and I think, to your point, you know, brokers are typically, people look at that word as a kind of a four-letter word. So you're right. So figuring out, you know, people that are getting a cut of something, and balancing that with, you know, conscious business and purpose is, you know, quite a balancing act. And the person that I think about that is super passionate about this, that I think you had in here, was Jonathan Kaiser. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about, I don't think you could, you know, find a more...
He was the one that we were talking about this with.
Yeah, with a more transactional business than, you know, commercial real estate. But you see the energy he has. Mm-hmm. Yes, he loves to get deals done, but he also loves the development of his team and helping clients in so many other ways. So, you know, there's great examples of you know, people that are doing it well. And quite honestly, when I, you know, we just published a book last month, and when we were writing it, we were trying to decide who we wanted the audience to be of the book and what we wanted them to learn. And I think we came to the conclusion that we came to is we wanted people that were running commodity businesses or businesses that were kind of boring, mm. and figuring out how to make them purpose and values driven and turn them into conscious companies. Because people are kind of sick of hearing the Zappos story. You know, everybody, when you tell somebody the Zappos story, the first thing they think about is, I'm not Zappos. So it's really fun to talk about, you know, people like Jonathan. And I anytime I have conversations like this, I like to highlight, for people that are listening, you know, your average Joe company and the very commoditized company and how they did it, the Barry Whalemillers, you know, companies like that that have really instilled purpose and values and conscious capitalism into their company, and also, you know, are very commoditized companies. So mm-hmm. It's something that I'm super passionate about because, like I said, I think when you talk to most people, they're tired of hearing, you know, stories about Google and Zappos and, you know, all these great cultures that really had a great culture to start, and it really compounded in a positive way on itself. Most people are what they are struggling with, I believe, is how do I take this very average, you know, culture and turn it into a more positive and conscious company? So just something that I love talking about and thinking about Kaiser and what they've done. It's really an easy example.
Mm, yeah, man, we could talk about this forever. But unfortunately, we have to close our interview. So what is your final thought for the CEOs that are they're listening, who may not be familiar or may not be as familiar with conscious capitalism? What do you want to leave them with?
Oh, man. I would want them to leave them with really, I want to direct it around hiring, because that's really what we specialize in. And I think most CEOs out there, they don't spend enough time hiring. And to me, hiring...
You mean directly? I am the CEO, and I need to be participating in hiring. Is that what you mean?
100%. Okay. Yes, that's where we see more times than not when I ask a president and CEO that will openly admit that hiring is one of the most important things that they do, if not the most important thing. And then I ask them how much time they're actually spending in that interview process and hiring process. And most of the time, it's not that much. And most of the time, they've tried to kind of push it off their desk. So I'd say if you want to, if you really want to be a conscious company, I think it starts with being involved in the selection process of your company, really putting your company up in the right lights, in the true light that, that really exists, and then making sure that you're selecting the right people.
Mm, great. Well, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your conference. It's
thank
been
you.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Max.